Well, today we're continuing in our series, Healing Conversations. And it's in this series that we have one specific goal, and that's to create a platform for healing conversations to take place. And in order for that to happen, it happens within the balance of what we're finding and learning about called the middle way. Now, in order for us to experience and even cultivate healing conversations, there needs to be a few elements that are worked into the soil of how we move forward in those conversations. Now, these elements serve as the foundation for our series. Last week, we talked about trust. Today, we're talking about humility. And then next week, we'll talk about respect. And then finally, we'll end our series with affirmation. And these are foundational elements that are helpful for us as we move forward in finding the middle way to have healing conversations. The summer before my freshman year in college, so it was my senior year, following my senior year of high school, that summer I lived and worked in Cape May, New Jersey. It's a beach community, it's the southernmost tip of New Jersey. And it was amazing because I worked at an ice cream shop called Skinny Dippers. And I also worked for the same family who owned the ice cream shop. They had a lawn mowing business called Mobuddies. So Mobuddies was cool because on the side, I would be able to go around and do landscaping and mowing and make a little extra cash. So the cool part was there were some houses on our route, especially one particular house that I remember that had apple trees. And they had two apple trees. They were in the back and they were really nice. And towards the end of the summer, we were able to go and actually pick the apples off the tree. Now, one of the trees produced incredible red, ripe, I mean, really delicious apples, like the kind what you bite into and the juice just pours out the corners of your mouth. And it was amazing. And in the other apple tree, unfortunately, didn't produce that good of fruit. You would pull the apple off the tree and it would be brown and warty and it would have a fuzz on it and it just looked bad. And I didn't know it then, and we did a little bit more research and found that the tree particularly had an apple tree disease called apple scab. This is a real thing. So it had apple scab and it made the fruit that came from the tree not digestible. It was really, really bad. And apple scab happens to apple trees, particularly in areas of high humidity. So the environment, it plays into the effect of this disease for these trees. So I've learned that healing conversations, and what we're learning is that it takes a level of maturity. Now, I want you to consider this. Think about the trees that I just described as an example of bearing fruit. And the question I have for you today is, what do the trees of conversation look like and what fruit are they bearing for you? Are your conversations delicious? Are they like a red ripe apple that you bite into and the juice flows from the corners of your mouth and you would say that was really good? Or do you find yourself more often in conversations that are diseased? They're warty and they're brown and there's bumps all over them. Because the fruit bearing shows up vividly in relationships, especially in conversations. When you get into a relationship with somebody or you get into a conversation with somebody, you'll be able to see very quickly the fruit of that conversation. Conversations with people who are mature or wise are delicious conversations. Even when they're hard, when you're speaking with somebody who is wise and you're speaking with somebody with understanding, you can go deeper in that level of understanding because the person that you're having a conversation with is wise. And it's a delicious conversation. But when we get into conversations with immature people or, you know, those who are acting irresponsibly in the conversation, they can kind of be more best described as apple scab. They're diseased and they don't taste good. Again, they're represented being brown and warty. So the question that we have to ask ourselves today is, how do we ensure that the tree of conversation that we are entering into, that it's bearing fruit and good fruit? Because the one thing that I always want to remind us is that there's only one person that you can control in a conversation, and that's you. So to ensure that your tree is bearing fruit, there is an essential element that I want to talk about today that with this element in place, it definitely helps in creating healthy, healing conversations. And that element is humility. So I love the quote from St. Augustine. Do you wish to rise? Begin by descending. You plan a tower that will pierce that clouds? Lay first the foundation of humility. Well, this is a good place for us to stop. I encourage you to download our talk sheet. An example of that talk sheet is right here. This is the one that we use for words, but it helps you to give an example of what our talk sheets look like. It'll direct you through the conversation. You're going to go right to the first element, which is the started out portion of our talk sheet. And if you are watching this with a group, dialogue, discuss. If you're watching this alone and you want to create a conversation, text out some of the questions. And then again, if you're watching this as a couple, talk together and share with one another. Again, if when you're ready to resume the message, just press play. And if you want to continue in the message, just wait 5 seconds and we'll be right back. One thing that I think we can agree that's missing in society is humility. Because humility, unfortunately, in many cases, is seen as a symbol or a sign of weakness. I love what Pastor A.R. Bernard has referenced in talking about humility. He said, humility is not weakness, but strength under control. And then C.S. Lewis, who has been awfully quoted with this quote of humility, said, humility is not thinking less of yourself. It's thinking of yourself less. I like that. And what's interesting is scripture has a lot to say about humility, especially as it reveals the character of Jesus, which then in turn reveals the character of God. And in studying humility in scripture today, I want to do something a little bit different. I actually want to start by going to the end. We're going to go to the last reference of humility in scripture and then work our way backwards. And I think by doing this, we're going to be able to see a rhythm and a pattern that is going to put together a really cool and clean understanding of humility throughout God's word. So we're going to start at the end, and we're going to go to the last reference of humility in scripture, which is found in 1 Peter. Now, this is kind of funny because Peter is the one who references humility, and he would be the one that often you would find is not very humble. There's been often times in Peter's life, he would not have been described as being the most humble person. But here in 1 Peter 5:5, it says, all of you dress yourselves in humility as you relate to one another. For God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Now, there's a particular word usage. Actually, there's a phraseology here that is really interesting. He said, dress yourselves. Dress yourselves. And it's a really rare usage of the word. In fact, Peter here is giving us a visual imagery of a servant. So this is exactly where it comes from. In fact, it literally translates the Greek word or the Greek phrase for dress yourselves, literally translates, put a towel around your waist. That's exactly what Peter is saying here. So if we place this phraseology into the scripture, we would see exactly the intention of what Peter's saying here in 1 Peter 5:5. He would be saying, all of you should put a towel around your waist as you relate to one another. I want you to think about that for a second. What would it look like for us to enter conversations and to have this attitude, to think about putting a towel around our waist figuratively? So the word usage is so rare. This dress yourselves, which literally means to put a towel around your waist, is so rare that they understand that Peter is referencing a specific moment to give us the same visual imagery when he is referencing that we should be clothing ourselves or dressing ourselves in humility. So he's referencing what Jesus did for the disciples after the meal together in the upper room. In fact, you've got to go back to John 13, verses 4 and 5. So he got up from the table, took off his robe, wrapped a towel around his waist, and poured water into a basin. Then he began to wash the disciples' feet, drying them with the towel he had around him. What's really interesting is after this moment, Peter begins to argue with Jesus. And he says, Jesus, if you're going to wash my feet, I want you to wash all of me. And he's arguing with Jesus. And Jesus is saying, Peter, you don't understand. He said, I am serving you. And in that moment, Jesus represented the most incredible image of humility. And then Peter, later in his letters, is referencing to the people around him, and he's referencing it to us. He's saying, do that. In fact, after the meal and after the argument, and Jesus sits back down, in verse 15, he says something really incredible. He says, I have given you an example to follow. Do as I have done to you. You have to remember that when Jesus is speaking to the disciples, he isn't just speaking 2,000 years ago. He's speaking to us today. And he looks to us today and he says, I have given you this example. Now do what I have done. And he says, do as I have done to you. You see, the character of Jesus isn't just something to be observed. It's something that we're called to do. And in fact, imagine again, if we walked into conversations with a figurative towel wrapped around our waist and said, I'm going to serve in this conversation. I'm going to emulate Jesus in this conversation. And I think it's really amazing because we then would serve with our attitude. We would serve with our language. We would serve with our, and in our desire for a healing conversation to take place. Through scripture, there's always been a correlation between humility and grace. In fact, now as we keep going backwards, consider the Old Testament references, or specifically the Old Testament reference that Peter uses in his letter. Because Peter references in verse 5 the reference from Proverbs. He says, God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Now, Peter didn't just make that up on his own. He referenced and pulled that out of the Proverbs that were written by Solomon. In fact, if we go to the specific reference of Proverbs 3, verse 34, this is what it says. The Lord mocks the mockers, but is gracious to the humble. Again, I want you to see the connection between grace and humility. And what's interesting here is Solomon is referencing in verses 31 through 35, the context of the scripture, when he talks about the Lord mocking the mockers and giving grace to the humble, is all in reference to how we treat our neighbor. That's exactly the reference in verses 31 through 35 of Proverbs 3. Are you mocking people with your life, or are you mocking people in your life? And the Lord will deal with them and will give the opportunity to humble them. But it means for you that when you are less proud, when you are humble, he will give you grace. He will mock the mockers, but he'll give grace to the humble. I want you to hear, humility matters. It forces us to get out of our own way and to genuinely desire to connect with others. In fact, the Apostle Paul says it this way in Philippians 2, verse 3. Don't be selfish. Don't try to impress others. Be humble, thinking of others better than yourselves. I want to go back and I want you to remember the words of C.S. Lewis. He said, humility is not thinking of yourself less. It's thinking of yourself less. You see, humility is not weakness. In many cases, humility, as Jesus showed it, is an incredible symbol of strength. Humility in conversations means learning to engage with others without making ourselves or our agenda the center of attention. This is another good place for us to stop. When we stop here, we're going to go to the talk it out section of the talk sheet. This will be a great place for you to dialogue about the scripture that was mentioned and also other references that will help to create dialogue and conversation about what does this mean to you today. So we're going to press pause here. And when you're ready, press play and we'll be back. Well, as we close, I want to encourage you to consider what humility means for you. To me, it means not labeling people in order to write off a whole category or people with different values or beliefs. I mean, if we're honest, we can see that labels, that's what they do. Think about the labels that we place on people. I mean, there's conservative, liberal, there's progressive, moderate, Republican, Democrat, Christian, Muslim, LGBTQ. I mean, these are all labels that we use as prejudice to write off an entire group of people. And Pastor Dave Roberts would say that labels are too often just prejudicial ways of writing off a whole group of human beings as irrelevant. You see, humility enables us to hear the person, to learn from the person, and to find joy in the person as we appropriately share ourselves. Humility provides the much needed room for the Holy Spirit to work in the conversation. If we just labeled everybody and were prejudiced against them to discredit them and all of them, then we're going to miss what the Holy Spirit can do in a loving, healing, healthy conversation. And that's dangerous. You see, as we've talked in previous weeks, conversation is an art. Humility is one of the brushes that we need in order to complete the painting of a healing conversation. Without it, we're just living in an echo chamber, saying the things that we want to hear, hearing the things that we want to hear, and not allowing the Holy Spirit to move in conversation, and trusting that the Holy Spirit can do more in 5 minutes than we could ever try in a relationship over 5 years. So the next time you have a conversation, I want you to include this simple question. What do you think? That's the simple question. This week, this is your kind of challenge. This is your, how do I apply this to my life, pastor, moment. It's simply the next time you have a conversation with somebody, ask them this question. What do you think? By asking this question and by really genuinely wanting to hear their response, you will gain more knowledge, potentially more opportunities to love. And when you show up to that conversation with a towel around your waist, you'll use this phrase, what do you think? Because I want to serve you in this conversation by my attitude, by my heart. I want to serve you in this conversation by the way I treat you, by my language, and the desire to have a healing conversation. Allow yourself to genuinely hear what somebody else thinks. See, the potential your conversation will bear fruit grows exponentially when you approach it with a towel around your waist. Let's pray together. Gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you for these challenging words that we've heard today to reintroduce, to introduce, or to continue to cultivate the element of humility into our lives, and especially into our conversations. Lord, as we reference the words of Peter to dress ourselves with all humility, Lord, we know that he didn't reference that because it was something he felt was good or fun or important. He referenced it because he saw you model it. So Jesus, I pray that we continue to reference the modeling of showing up in our relationships, showing up in our conversations, figuratively with a towel around our waist. Let us model after you. Jesus, I pray that each person this week would draw closer in their relationship with you, and through that, it would draw closer in their relationships with others. Lord, help us and protect us as we continue to navigate these waters, as we continue to desire to have healing conversations. We give you thanks and we give you praise for this in your name. Amen. Well, as we conclude all of our services and as we conclude our time together now, we want to do the benediction. And our benediction is something that we really love to have each time that we gather, because it's not just a blessing, it's an opportunity for you to go in peace and to know that God is with you. So I encourage you, as you know it, to say it with us. And the posture that we always have is just to open up our hands and to receive this blessing. So as you know it, I encourage you to say it with me. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord turn his face towards you and give you peace. In the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, amen and amen. You are sent.